Father, as we come to a close in time of prayer publicly, we pray for the Spanish church. I know they have four or five of their regular people are out sick or tending to loved ones, and I pray for them. Pray for our church for the same thing. I pray for the church Sunday in South Hills, Virginia, where I'll go and speak. I pray you'll give me safety as I travel. I pray you'll give me a message to help the church there and to help the pastor. And pray for the people of that church. We pray for America, Israel, and the Ukraine. These nations that are at war, O Lord, and the spiritual warfare that is in the United States of America. We pray that you would grant us leadership that will point the country back to thee, and that will support the ministries of the churches and the Christians. And we seek that, O Lord, as so much of the world turns another way. We pray for the Boatwright family with my friend Rick. Lord, you know he's an old schoolmate of mine, and I hate to see him in the shape he's in. I pray for Sam Covington, who just got out of the hospital with a broken hip and surgery. I pray for Nanette and Peter traveling, and also for the funeral. I pray for Alan Spain and his mother, who was in the hospital with cancer. I pray for Rita and her two sisters, Wanda and Teresa. We don't know if they're saved, Lord, and we pray for them. We ask you to intervene in the lives of all of our people. Jimmy Shaver with his shoulder and the prostate issue. The Munn ladies, the Templetons. The Mercy and Joyce with the blood issues in Gomathy. JJ had an eye problem. I pray he's better by now, but I'm not sure. So, Lord, we put all these in your hands and lay them before your feet and ask you to intervene and grant healing. You're our Father, and hallowed be thy name. We come to you, and we ask for your help and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 26. This chapter deals with a choice to obey and find the Lord's blessings, or to disobey and be cursed. Israel faced that choice, and we're reminded of it numerous times. The first part of chapter 26 deals with the fact that when they come into the land, they're to offer the first fruits offering unto the Lord. And that didn't cease. That's a part of the routine of Israel, to offer the first fruits. And the first fruits feast was connected with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Israel offered the first of their fruits as they ripened unto the Lord, and the reason would be that God would bless the remainder of their harvest. And so Christ arose from the dead so that God will bless the remainder of his harvest. And that affects all of us being saved, and we're the harvest that Christ has died for. In Israel, they were to make their sacrifices to God and be faithful. And let's look at verse 5, Deuteronomy 26. Thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, became there a nation, great, mighty, populous. And the Egyptians, evil, entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great and terribleness, with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of the increase of the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. And I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for an unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, that thou shouldst keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, in the name, and in honor, and thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Now the history of the nation of Israel, Abraham was basically a Syrian who God chose out and gave him a nation of people. And his son Jacob, God changed his name to Israel when he wrestled with the Lord seeking a blessing. And so the nation of Israel had 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob. And he rehearsed their history here and gave them some highlights and spoke about Egypt's treatment of them, and how they cried to the Lord their God, and he delivered them. Now we face a similar mandate as Israel did, that we obey the Lord and do his will and obey him in all things. And if we do, he will bless us. He will prosper us. He will protect us and hedge us about. But if we disobey God, it is not so much as Christians that we will have a curse upon us, but we can lose his blessings. We don't lose our relationship with him if we sin, but we lose some of the protection, we lose some of his blessings, we lose the being without chastisement, and these things that can come upon us if we live in sin, as Israel was to be cursed. We are the church, like God wanted Israel to be, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a purchased possession, a royal priesthood of believers. If you keep your bookmark here and turn over to 1 Peter 2, we've got two times here. We'll look at what's found there, so we'll go ahead and read the whole aspect of it. Chapter 2, verse 5 of 1 Peter. We are living stones in the household of God. He says it like this: ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the Spirit, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. All right. God gave Israel a choice to serve him and obey him or to face the consequences. In New Mexico, there's actually a town called Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And when I was a young boy, there was a TV show called Truth or Consequences. It was a game show. And that was always sort of a reminder to us as Christians, you got to make the choice. It's either truth or you pay the consequences. Moses reminded Israel that God had given them the word of God with all the commandments, and that he was the true and living God, and that they should serve him and follow him. We have been given the entire Bible. We have been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We have been given the ministry of the church in this day and time. So we have so much more to help us stay on the straight and narrow path and to live truthfully for God. Moses reminded Israel of their responsibility. He reminded them at Sinai they had vowed to God to obey him. And he said unto them, let's look at these two verses, Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verse 7 and 8. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them, him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And look at chapter 24. After he gave them the Ten Commandments, chapter 24, verse 3 through 8. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill with 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So God promised to bless them if they would obey him with all their heart and from the heart. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 16, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath, God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep thee in the covenant and mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? That would be a problem for them if they didn't do what God told them to do. Now God promised to bless them. On the plains of Moab, Israel has again made a vow to God, a solemn and permanent vow to obey God and keep his word. And then again, in Joshua chapter 8, after Joshua leads them into the promised land, they cross over Jordan and go into the land and begin to take over the land as God had told them. Joshua 8, verse 30. And Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Now you know that burnt offerings are just to burn up a sacrifice unto the Lord. Peace offerings, they would offer the edible animal, and they would divide it in three parts. One part would be burned up on the altar for God. Another part would be given to the priest for them to eat. And the third part would be given back to the one who makes the offering. And they would sit down and eat together with the priests and as a symbol with God. They would be in fellowship over food with the Lord. Now we're looking at verse 32. He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel, and all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as strangers, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little ones, the strangers, were conversant among them. So it's not enough for us to just enjoy all the blessings of the Lord and his provisions to us. We must accept the responsibilities that he has given unto us and what we are to do as his people, just as it was with Israel. We must represent him well in obedience from the heart. Moses called all Israel to commit them wholly to the Lord, and their commitment was not to Moses. Moses would soon leave them and Joshua would take over. The commitment was to God. The same as with us. When we make a commitment to our God, it is not to this church, it's not to the pastor, it's to God that we're making those commitments and the vows that we make unto Him. Now back in 26:16, this day thou shalt do what God hath commanded you with all your heart. Verse 17, the word of vouch, not commonly used, is a Hebrew word which is pronounced amar. And the meaning is to appoint or to declare or to verify. God has declared both Israel and the church to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, or a purchased possession. And we see that in 1 Peter that we read. Now we go to chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, and verse 1 through 13. And there we're coming up on these two mountains where the choice is. They're called the mountains of blessings or curses. And Moses and the elders and the priest are to unite together. Verse 1, Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And verse 9 through 11, Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command you. Now, between these two mountains was a valley. When they came through the land, they would pass through this valley. And the instructions were given unto them to set up great stones at Mount Ebal. And they were to plaster these stones and write on them the commandments of God with the curses upon sin. They were to build an altar of stones to offer burnt offerings there and peace offerings. And they should rejoice when they ate the offering. Moses revealed the tribes which would stand upon the mountains. In chapter 27, verse number 11, Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. The tribe of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And then these other tribes shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer, Amen. Now, if you got your Bible open, you see those just continue. There's quite a list of them there. The blessings when they came across come from Mount Gerizim, and the cursings come from Mount Ebal. And verse 14 through 26, he brought a curse upon idolatry in verse 14 and 15. In verse 16, he brought a curse upon disobeying your parents, speaking light of your mother and father, not obeying their words. Verse 17, cursed is the man that removes his neighbor's landmark. Verse 18, cursed is the man that causes the blind to wander out of the way. They were to have compassion and mercy upon the blind, upon those in need, upon a stranger, because they were to remember they were once a stranger in Egypt. And so there's a protection there for the blind. Verse 19, cursed is the man that perverts the judgment of the stranger or fatherless or widow. God has made special protection for them and provision for them in the fields. They were to leave the corners of the fields and the droppings. They were not to go back and regather them. They were to allow the widows and the children who were fatherless to pick up these things to have something to eat. and to harvest from the corners. Verse 20 through 23, this section deals with a manner of all types of sexual sins that God had warned them about. And he said in Leviticus 18 and verse 1 through 18, and then again in verse 27 through 29, that this was why he was driving the 10 nations out from before them, was because of all these sexual sins. It included homosexuality, it included incest, it included bestiality. Apparently all these nations had committed all kinds of sexual sins and probably had many diseases as a result of it. And God promised Israel, if you don't commit these sins, I won't put these diseases upon you. So in chapter 27, verse 25 and 26, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. If they obey and hearken unto God, God would give them the ability to overcome their enemies. Look into chapter 28. We've got just a minute or two. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command these blessings. If they obey, this is how their lives would be. But if they fail to obey, from verse number 16 all the way through the book of 68 verses, are listed all the curses that could come upon them if they disobey God and turn away from his word. Now, we are not under the law of Israel, the law of God. We are in the age of grace, the dispensation of the church and of grace. And we obey God's commands, but we do not follow the law of Israel, the Levitical diet, and the dealing with these other nations and all of that sort of thing. That was specific to them in the land. And we are not Jews and we are not in Israel. Even if people are Jews today, if they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then they're just completed Jews. They're Christians, just like we are. And we follow a higher level of obedience to God because we love him, because we're thankful for what he has done for us, and we are to follow his word. And if we do, it will be for our good and for what is best for us. But if we disobey his word, we reap what we sow. So we got Israel as a great example of the many, many things not to do. We should learn from the mistakes of other people. If we do not learn from the mistakes of other people, we'll end up making the same mistakes ourselves. It's important that we walk with God and study his word and live for the Lord, and that we have the Holy Spirit within us to enlighten us to understand the word, to convict us if we do wrong, and we should immediately confess our sin, and God is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What a wonderful God we serve, my friends. Thank God for what he's done for us. Father, bless your people tonight, I pray. Grant them the blessings of God. Protect them. Hedge them about and keep them from the evil that is around us everywhere. Lord, help us to serve you and please you from the heart, to love you with all our heart. And so, Father, help us also to love one another and to care for one another. We thank you for what you've done for us, and we thank you for the future promises of what we have to look forward to. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ms. Dunn.